Welcome to Rock That Relationship, a podcast about all things relationship with Corey and Tracy.
Now let's get real and start creating relationships that rock.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Rock That Relationship. Tracy and I are here today to talk with Robin Doxey, an Akashic psychic intuitive reader who is going to talk all about what that is and really why it has to do or what it has to do with past life relationships and connections, because that's really the whole point of this entire series of our season is all about past life relationships, and particularly focusing on all the ways in which Tracy and I have come across our past life connections. And so we brought Robin on, and we're so excited, Robin, to have you on the show. So thank you for being here.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, and congratulations on 11 seasons. That is an amazing body of work.
Thank you.
Yeah, you know what's so cool about it is that this season is, you know, 11 is kind of like, you know, 1-1 and, you know, kind of a cool number. Yeah. And it's the season we're really looking at some of this soul connection stuff. So I thought that was super cool. Well, Robin, the reason we brought you on is that you and I actually met a couple years ago. I came to you for an Akashic reading. And then after my reading, Tracy went to see you. And it was a really interesting, fascinating experience, but I'd never been exposed to an Akashic reading before. I'd never had one or even really heard much of it. And Tracy, I believe it was your first time as well.
Yes.
Maybe you could just start by telling our listeners a little bit about what is an Akashic reading? Like, how does it work? And if someone were to go and get one or do one, what would that look like?
Sure. Well, Akasha is a Sanskrit word. And it roughly translates into ether or sky or heaven. But how Akasha has presented itself to me is it is the nothingness from which everything arises. So that is that non-physical dimension of energy. And that energy, it's kind of like every dimension exists within that dimension. And our souls exist within that energy. It's like the natural energy of us. So within that energy, there are what are called Akashic records. And the record is basically the story of your soul. It holds every experience, thought, emotion, time that your soul has experienced. And I have the honor of being able to tap into that. And one of my roles that I have been assigned in this life is sharing with people just how incredible and talented and amazing they are and how gifted they are to come down into this lifetime and be able to pursue the spiritual mission that their soul really wanted to experience as a human.
That's so interesting. I love this. And by the way, when I first went to you, I thought, oh, this is insane. I just do think sometimes because Corey doesn't first. And then I was like, this is totally crazy. And I was really at first like, no, this is ridiculous. Like even in your house. And then when I left, the stuff that you had told me, I told Corey, and it was like mind blowing how accurate it was. Right. And so I would urge everybody to go. It was actually a life-changing experience, and I didn't realize it during the session, but after, and we'll get into that more as the episode goes on, but you told me some things about some people that there's no way you could have aligned that information with that person. Like, you don't know anything about us. You've never met us before, and it was really fascinating. So I can't wait to get into stories about it.
To be honest, sometimes I am like blown away by what comes through. This was not something I thought I would be doing as a little girl.
Well, that is okay. Yeah, you said earlier that you have the honor to do this. Like, how did you did you go to like a school for this, or did someone come up and tell you, or you just started getting all these like messages from the universe?
No, actually, I love that this is a relationship based podcast. It was through codependence, actually.
Wow.
It was a codependent,
that.
codependent friendship. I've always been psychic. I have always seen, heard, tasted, smelled, interacted with spirits. Spirits is my guides, my angels. I was a healer for many, many years. I've been an animal communicator, an angel communicator for decades. And a friend of mine gave me a book on Edgar Cayce, and she was like, you're going to love this. I think it's right up your alley. I think this is really familiar to you. And I just was not interested. I didn't want to read it. I didn't want to open that door. So that book sat on my bedside table for over a year, and she kept asking about it. And I'm like, yeah, I haven't been able to get to read it. But the truth is I didn't want to hurt her feelings, that I didn't want to reject her offering. Mm-hmm. So finally, I got the courage and I said, hey, listen, I'm not going to read this book. I don't want to read this book. I need to return it to you. And I don't know what her guides were doing, but the words that came out of her mouth is like, oh, well, I have three other books on Akasha. Maybe you want one of those. And I was like, oh, darn, how do I get out of this? So I drove all the way to her house. I opened the door. On her coffee table were three books. One of them was an orangey red book by Linda Howe. And I immediately knew that was the book. I didn't even talk to her. I slammed down the book and picked up the other and went home. And I was really mad. I was really mad. I was like, oh, I can't get out of this. So I started reading it. And because I was already used to receiving downloads, within 2 weeks, I received the download and just started channeling all of this stuff. And the book had suggested, oh, give free readings for a month. And I was, you know, like an obedient person. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, mm-hmm. I'll do this. So for a month, stuff just came through. And before going to bed at night, I'd be like, what is happening? Talking to my guides, what is happening? I don't know what is happening. But people kept calling me. And pretty soon I didn't know how people found me. I didn't have a website. I didn't have social media, but people just kept finding me, and I just kept reading the records and going to my records. It was like, yeah, this is what I'm supposed to do. So just surrender. And, I surrendered.
That's awesome. We're always talking about manifesting or pings or, you know, messages you get from the universe. And like, no matter what, if you try to avoid it, it'll come around to you, right?
It just knocks a little harder.
Yeah.
It sure does.
And you never know where you're going to get that information from. You know what I mean? Like,
that is so, so true. One of the things that is extremely apparent within the Akashic field is there's no judgment value. There's no right or wrong. There's no good or bad. It can be considered very negative to be enmeshed in a codependent relationship, yet my guides, my higher self, will operate through the material that is given to me in my path to get me to be aligned. So I can't even say that codependent relationship was a negative thing in my life, because I found my way on the path to it.
Mm-hmm.
So right, wrong, good, or bad, the highest good worked anyways.
Mm-hmm. Can I just ask
a follow-up on that? Because I think that's so fascinating. I've always wondered if, you know, we have this kind of, like this path, and sometimes we resist it and we end up kind of going out of our way, but we saw in theory, do we just kind of magnetize and come back to the path, or can we really just get off the path?
You can absolutely get off the path. You can get so far off the path that within the lifetime, you have blocked every access to get back onto it. And that actually leads into why we repeat coming down here to experience the same lessons in a different body with different variables. And also the reverse is true. The path, we were so aligned with our path, it was so wonderful, we want to experience that again in a different lifetime with different variables to see how we can accomplish that, that purpose, that beauty of being a full human over and over again. So,
well, it's interesting because Corey and I, you told us this and we'll get more into it, but like we've experienced these multiple lives together and we've been told that by multiple people and we're just friends, but we came in this lifetime to kind of learn the same lessons. And I do want to tell one story real quick. I was in this terrible, terrible situationship that nobody understood and everyone's like, what are you doing? And what, get out of this. And when I went to see you, I asked about that person and you said, well, I don't know how to say this. I don't know how to say it nicely. And I said, just say it. And you're like, well, she was your dog in a former life. And you were like in the Middle Ages and your father was a sheep herder and it was a sheep herding dog. And this person who I was involved with, the way that she got into my like house and my how we got into this situationship was through a sheep herding dog. I had a border collie and she used that dog to like get to me. And she was obsessed with that dog throughout our entire situation to the point where she wrote me like cards that were addressed to the dog that clearly were about me, but she couldn't even say that. Everything went through the dog. And when you told me that, like, I don't have any resentment or anger for her. She's totally like a nut job and whatnot. But because you said that, like, I could put in this historical perspective, right? Like, it helped me so much to deal with, why was I involved with this person who was not nice to me? Why did we have such an intense situation? And why was it so weird? But then with your what you told me, right? So it's not even your perspective. It's just what you were seeing is we had been involved in a different lifetime in a different way and oddly through this dog. And so for me to hear that, it was profound because it freed me from, why am I getting myself involved? Like, I knew why I got involved with that person, to finalize whatever had happened in this other life and to, like, say, I'm done, you know? And I wouldn't have been able to do that otherwise.
Thank you so much for sharing that with me. I don't get to remember the readings. And I find it really fascinating how our lifetimes and echoes of our lifetimes play out in our
and how that information helps people that you don't even know what you've done to show them this. Like, you don't know how much that affected me, how much that helped me. So me going to talk to you and finding out that information helped me more than anything ever could have. And it put that relationship in its place and it probably like not maybe life saving, maybe emotional saving, maybe I didn't go crazy over like, why am I doing this? I knew then, right then. So super, super helpful. What you do is so helpful.
Thank you for saying that. Thank you very much for saying that. Sometimes the messages that come through are really, really hard to say. Sometimes they're really funny, but it really makes, that really just kind of gives me a charge that the information was valuable enough that you could utilize it for your benefit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I had the same experience with you and my story. I had a lot of really cool things, but the one that I really wanted to focus on is, I'd given you a list of, I don't know, I think it was five different names and just asked you like, do I or have I known these people at some point in a past life? And so the one that stood out, which continues to stand out, like I said, whenever I go and see somebody who's, you know, intuitive or psychic or whatever, Tracy continues to come up in this over and over. And, we had a very kind of fortuitous meeting of when we met each other on July 4th in 2021. Our friendiversary is on Friday. I will not forget to give you a card, Tracy, as I do every
single
year.
I've already
year.
forgotten it.
And,
Write it down.
but we met at a party. We were both in our hearts were hurting and we kind of found our way to each other. When I came to see you, I threw Tracy's name out there and, the story you had told me was that, Tracy had been my young son in a past life during World War II and that, this young son had died at a very young age and that I was so heartbroken around it that I died shortly thereafter. This was really telling to me because we are very connected. We've never romantically been connected, but we are connected in a very different kind of a way that a lot of people don't understand. And this is before I've even heard any of this past life stuff, but, also, we sometimes have a parent-child dynamic that, and Tracy's older than I am, and I still continue to sort of parent her in ways, and we slip into that. We need to know, but we've shown up in different roles, and we've shown up as we did show up as a married couple. And at one point in our discussion, Robin, you had mentioned that I'm what's called a jumper, and that I was jumping from life to life to life, and that Tracy was going with me on a lot of these things. And so I thought that was also quite fascinating. But from that point on, I told Tracy this story, and she's like, well, of course it makes sense. You parent me all the time, and we kind of got a good laugh out of that. But then Tracy had a very interesting experience from that point that we wanted to just tell you and just, I don't know, see what your thoughts or reactions
are. Yeah. Okay, first of all, that was so helpful to find out this parent-child dynamic because there are times where I'm like, get the F off me, you know, where that's what I literally want to say. And I'm like, why am I thinking this about like a friend, right? Like, God, get the F off me. I'll figure this out. But then she's so helpful, right? So why should I even feel that way, number one? But it's actually helped me to never say that to her, except for I'm telling this right now. But, you know, where there's times where I'm just like, ugh, get off me, you know? And it's very interesting. And I actually appreciate the parenting, although I am I'm actually her guide here. So it's weird. We have like so many different dynamics happening. But what happened was she met this person online one day. Like she called me and told me, hey, I met this person on a Facebook group and we're going to go hiking. And she just kept talking about her and her energy. And she was in a relationship. And I was like, what is your problem? Are you going to date this person? And she's like, no, not at all. I'm like, well, you're acting so weird. Like this, whatever's coming through, it's freaking me out. I'm like, do you want me to date this person? Like, what is your deal? And she's like, no, I just thought this would be a good friend. And from that very minute, the energy was so off. And so we happened to be hiking and we ran into that person. And that person turned around and went up the hill with us. And I was asking her a bunch of questions. And Corey's like, back off of her. And then I went behind Corey's back and sent that person a message saying, oh, Corey doesn't like to use Messenger. And she doesn't like to hike early in the morning. So let's us just hike. I've never done anything like that in my life.
It was horrible. It was the biggest fight we ever had.
It happened like as if I wasn't even in control of myself. So this is what later happened. I started hiking with that person like crazy, driving up to the Grand Canyon, driving hours and hours, like in the middle of the night, like in the morning, hiking these crazy things, leaving. It became very, very weird all of a sudden.
It was like an obsession. I've never seen it like that, an obsession. And it was like the secret behind my back thing. And I'm like, she's just this new random friend from Facebook. What is happening here? And the dynamic between Tracy and I was so off. The energy
felt
yucky.
Well, and I kept telling Corey, stay away from this person. You don't need to hang on to this person. And I felt a need to keep that person away from Corey or to keep Corey away from her. I've never felt that about anybody. I've never been up in Corey's business. But I was like, back off. And so one day, like, and Corey and I had a big fight about it. And then Robin's like, okay, get over the story. Okay, I'll go real fast.
You're like, fine. You're fine. I'm soaking it in.
Okay. She's like, shut up. So, but it like got crazy, right? And so then Corey and I got in a big fight about it. And I was like, back off and you need to stay away from this person. I don't think you and this person get along. Just stay away from her. And then Corey went to you. You told her that I was her son who got killed. I've been obsessed with the Holocaust since I was like 11 years old with no reason to be. You told her that information. And then one day I was hiking with this person alone and I turned around and I said, you killed me. I forgive you. I'm letting you off the hook for that. It's done and over. And when I tell other people this story, they get like so hysterical. They're like falling on the floor like I'm a crazy person telling them a story. And this person's whole body, she almost vomited. She got goosebumps all over her whole body. And she's had like 18 foster kids in her life. And I said, you're done. You've made up for what you did. And since that time and that hike, everything shifted.
Energy
her life
clear.
Is better. Her yep. life's better. There's no fighting between us. There's no weirdness.
There's no bad energy. And this woman is not very spiritual either. And we thought, you know, I was like, oh gosh, Tracy, what did she say? She said that she believed her. She was like, I feel this literally in my bones. Like, I believe mm-hmm. this. And all of a sudden, all whatever that energy was gone. And now the three of us are all friends and everything feels like a
fine.
Great peace. It's the weirdest feeling.
And I have less of an obsession with the Holocaust.
It's that is amazing healing. Mm-hmm. And that is one, I mean, this is a beautiful example of how what we can do in our present life will heal our past lives. Because sometimes there are unexplainable traumas that we're holding that we just can't explain. And those are those echoes from that past life begging for healing. So one of the things I say is, you're not just healing for yourself. You're healing for all of yourselves.
Yeah, it's so true. I feel that way about like obsessions, right? Or those people who are, what do you call them? They like they can play Mozart when they're five, you know, like these people who come out, like I grew up in Illinois in farm country and my entire life, I was like, I mean, as a kid, I was like, why am I not in Paris? Why am I not at a salon? What am I doing here? And then I got my bachelor's degree in French. I did all this stuff. And then another person told us that we have been married at the turn of the century in France. And we both had this really weird connection to France as young people that we didn't understand that nobody in our lives nurtured. I've never had met a French person. You know,
I was sketching architectural drawings of the Eiffel Tower in third grade. I'd never even knew anything about France.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Well, what humans might call crazy,
right?
Akasha might call, you know, gentle nudges into aligning with your, you know, who you want to be in this lifetime.
Well, like how, so before we started recording, you were saying that for you as an Akashic reader, this is all wiped clean from you so that you're not carrying everybody else's baggage, right? And it's somebody else's story. So for us to hear these stories or for us to be people, how can we use Akashic or Akashic readings? How can we use this to our best benefit? Like, should we keep going and finding out more stories or like, is there a point where like you reach a spiritual peak or I don't know what I'm really asking. Like, could I become, would it help me to keep going and finding out more things?
That is a very complicated question. Because mm-hmm. a lot of people will ask, when should I come back? Mm-hmm. And it's really, really personal. Sometimes people come in for a reading, not really, kind of like your guys' experience, not really knowing what you're getting into, not really actually understanding what you're consenting to receive. So for the very first time, it can be a little jaw-dropping of like, oh my gosh. And it might take weeks or months to allow that to integrate. Sometimes the information that comes through isn't for that day. Sometimes it's for much further down into whatever growth or regression that the choices you make happen, and then that information will make sense. So I ask people to honor their intuition, whether that's their heart intuition or their gut intuition, but honor that. I prefer not to do more than one reading a month for a person, because I really want that person to be able to honor it. The only time I will take another reading in less than a month is if we ran out of time for a very pertinent question. Other than that, I don't think it's necessary. There are so many other avenues to get information. There are so many other divinations. There are so many other somatic practices or healing practices or just self-improvement practices, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Taking a hike. You know, taking a hike brought you to the point where like, oh, okay, now this reading makes sense. But, you know, the honest truth is the records are yours. You could access them yourself if you wanted to take the time and the discipline to do it. I have a daily discipline that allows me to access the records. So my service is, if you don't want to take the time to do the discipline, I will be happy to serve. But my biggest hope is that I'm defunct, that I'm not needed mm-hmm. in the world mm-hmm. because, you know, people are so in tune with themselves that they just don't need people like me. And I can't wait till humanity gets back to that ability.
Mm-hmm. Based on what I saw this weekend in Idaho, I don't think we're close to that, but
so
that's nice.
Well, I mean, so when we talk about like Tracy's experience on the trail and that intuitive hit and everything sort of fell into place, I mean, is that kind of common for people as you're talking about making meaning of the readings, but then all of a sudden having such intuitive clarity and such healing that it's like, we don't know that to be true. We've never had anybody else confirm it. And we don't necessarily need to, but we both feel, and even our third party feels like this is like reflective of what happened in our past lives. Like, do you get to a point where like we feel that and there is some truth to that? Or are we just sort of like, I don't know, I don't want to say making it up, but are we really experiencing that? Is that real?
So just for clarity here, are you asking a question about how do we get confirmation? How do we know that my experience is a true experience and valuable to me?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. So, I mean, Tracy had this experience on the trail. So I'm wondering, like, how do we confirm that this third person?
I'm going to answer that question for you, Corey, because like in my body and mind, it is so clear to me now. It is so clear that like I have no doubt. Like there's things now I'm like, oh, should I do this? Should I have this job? Whatever, where I have doubt. But these things that have happened since we met in 2021 and me starting to open like this portal or whatever, or accessing these more spiritual things, that is like knowledge in my body. You couldn't shake me of that. You couldn't convince me that it's not true. Like since Corey and I've met my twin flame. I've now met my soulmate. I have known about several past lives that make my entire life make so much more sense. So I know it. I know it. Before I use the word crazy, and I always say when Corey says, isn't that weird? I'm like, it's not weird. It's like supposed to be that way. But like being regular people, we use the words crazy and weird, right? Because we're still very like mainstream. But I'm telling you, since I started this journey, and I'm an attorney. It was a police officer. I'm very left brain, or is it left brain or right brain? I'm very like concrete and this is the way it has to be. And since I have opened myself up to these things, like going to the Akashic reading, going to a psychic tarot reader, everything is, it is solid. It's like a solid knowledge. So I feel like you feel that in your body. If you know what I mean? Like the way things have unfolded. Yes, I tell this story and people think it's hysterical and that I'm a nut job, but like, I don't feel crazy. I don't feel that anything that I'm accessing or feeling is anything but actual knowledge. So I guess it's how you feel when you receive that or process it. Does that make sense?
So one of the things that happens when we incarnate is we go from a very non-physical dimension into a very, very physical dimension. And that takes a lot of energy to condense down and down. So I like to think of it as like we're these beautiful long strands of energy, and then we get crammed into these itty bitty teeny tiny bodies, and it turns into like a tangled mess of spaghetti. Mm-hmm. So we don't come here knowing how to do it. We come here to learn how to do it. And then what happens is we get all kinds of conditioning, and we get all kinds of modeling. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that conditioning, a lot of that modeling is don't be who you really are. Be what I expect you to be, or we expect you to be, or be something to fit in because we believe this would make life easier for other people. And in reality, it makes life so much harder for us because we're not the product of, we don't fit. We don't feel good fitting into that conditioned box. And the beauty of this lifetime is getting out of that box to be who we truly are. And you can be your true self in a crappy job. And you can be your true self in a place you don't like living. And you know you're in that truth. But you know you're in that truth. Not everybody around you. Everybody around you is like, no, we have to follow the conditioning. We have to fall in line. So you're crazy. And I'm going to convince you're crazy. I'm going to convince you not to believe yourself, not to trust yourself. And it's okay to make mistakes practicing trusting ourselves. Again, we're here to learn it. We don't come in already knowing everything. If we came in already knowing everything, what's the point? It's to experience. We incarnate to gain experience, to understand, to come against a block or come against an obstacle and be like, oh, isn't this curious? What do I do with this? And so when you're talking about feeling it in your body, what you're feeling in your body is like the convergence of all the parts of you. Your thinking, your feeling, your heart, your energy, all coming in. And oftentimes, there is a spiritual frisson, the goosebumps, the shivers, the shakes of like, oh my God. And this is our system shaking itself. We're kind of shaking off that conditioning. We're shaking off what is not us. And it's kind of like getting free. And it can feel really disconcerting. Being in alignment can feel really, really off. It's like the person who has been ill for a really long time, they have to get used to feeling healthy. Feeling healthy sometimes is uncomfortable. And we are conditioned to be like, see, that's scary. That doesn't feel right. Get back in your box. Mm-hmm. So we just practice. We just practice throughout our lifetime getting into alignment. I now know immediately when I'm not in alignment. And I have to say, I choose to not be in alignment right now. I choose to experience this very human experience. I choose to be in discomfort. And then I'll be like, I negotiate. All right, I'll give you 24 hours to behave badly, but then you got to get back on track.
Oh, that's so interesting. Wow.
I have another interesting thing to say. As I've gotten more into all this stuff, it is like my brain is unlocking puzzle pieces and or fitting the puzzle pieces together. There's sometimes where I'm driving and it's like I know that nothing, there'll be no obstacle in my way. And I'm making this motion with my hands, but we're on podcast. Like, it's like click, 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 click. And honestly, like, people sometimes look at my life over the last couple of years and they don't understand like what's been happening with me or what I'm doing, but I'm such a happy person and I'm so much more regulated and I'm so much more understanding of like how we are in this world. Like I felt so much discomfort for the first like 40 years of like Why am I not here? Why am I obsessed with the Holocaust? Why am I doing these things? Why? And now that I've gone to you and I've gone to a psychic and I've done these things, it's making so much more sense to me. And so, like, I had a friend who consistently mocked me for, why are you paying this astrologer? Why are you going to these people? Why are you doing this? And I'm like, why does it matter? It's making me happier. It's not making me sadder. It's benefiting my life. They're not telling me to turn my house over to them. I'm not, you know, in a cult. I said, I'm going to people who are giving me value and showing me things that have, like, are helping me to understand what is going on here and what I'm doing here and what's my purpose here, you know?
Tracy, you're kind of opening a door that is near and dear to my heart. It is the ethics of energy workers and intuitives. Unfortunately, there are a lot of scammers mm-hmm. out there. And I would really like to encourage people to check out the ethics of the person that they're going to. And one of the best ways that I do it is, where is the fear and where is the rightness? So if somebody is going and getting a reading of any kind and it instills fear and takes away your power, I invite you to check that out. Check that out. Why you might be giving your power to somebody else. If you're going to someone and they are giving you information, and it's a little bit scary information, but you walk away saying, I want to take my power back. I want my agency to come back and honor myself. So if the information gives you an opportunity to honor yourself, that's good information. And it's not to, like, bypass pain or healing or anything, or spiritually mm-hmm. bypass what needs to happen to learn the lesson. It's that when people come to me, I'm giving them information for them to use, not for me to use against them. And if people are going through some sort of reading, just ask yourself some questions about the energetic ethics of what are going on. So people have come to me with such horrible tales that, one, I do feel responsibility of, you know, acknowledging and affirming that the con or the fear induced or the loss of resources that they experienced from a reading, that, yes, that does happen. And honoring that they are risking coming to me and really making sure that I do the work, that I work my hardest to maintain high energetic ethics. And I'm human. Sometimes, you know, the interpretation doesn't come out with the clarity that I hope for. But anytime you go to somebody for a reading and they are truly wanting to convey the information to you that empowers you, whether you do anything with it or not, but if you walk away with feeling like I have been empowered and I have been given some agency back into my own life, then I'm like, yay, good reading.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. And that's really important, I think, for our listeners too, because a lot of them are unfamiliar with some of these things. And, you know, making these decisions is really important for them to consider all the factors. So Robin, I do have a question for you, and, you know, you feel free if this is not something we can go down the path of, but kind of getting back to Tracy's and my kind of connection. I know when we were about to launch and I was about to push record, you were kind of clearing space for any kind of messages that might come in and got consent from Tracy and I to receive those. Just in the course of our conversation or just in the course of our connection, I didn't know if maybe there was anything that you needed to share or any messages coming to you that we needed to hear, and I just wanted to make space for that.
Sure. So just to clarify for your listeners, I do not read anybody's energy without their consent. I am not a voyeuristic psychic. Your energy is your energy, and I appreciate your energy. And of course, our energies are going to interact. But if I'm going to read somebody's energy, I need consent. Consent is everything. So when you guys gave me consent, one of the things you gave me consent for is not only to look into your energy, but also to look into your guides. And then I asked myself, I invited my higher self to tap into that and interpret that. And I asked my ego to be an observer. So when I look at you and Tracy, Corey and Tracy, when I look at you, I recognize that you're from the same soul family. And a lot of people talk about soulmates. A soulmate is not one particular person. So a soulmate is a soul from your soul family member. So when we're in our soul form, we hang with a crowd. We hang with a crowd that we're comfortable with. And these people, like in our family or our neighborhood, don't think in a material way. This is all energy. So there are certain souls that we're very familiar with, and we want to help each other. So when one soul starts chatting with another of like, hey, I really want to go down and I want to be a healer, another soul will say, hey, I'll help you with that. Let's make a contract. And these are what soul contracts are. Of like, I want to make an agreement with you, soul to soul, to meet up with you or influence each other in some way that we can benefit each other. And the majority of these contracts are love contracts. And some of these contracts are I'm going to push you contracts. So don't think that every soul family is going to come down and be the nice, loving relationship. Some of these, I'm going to come down and teach you. I'm going to put you in a hard lesson for you to get out of. So right across the board, we have all been murdered, and we have all murdered. Mm-hmm. We have all been children. We have all been parents. We have all been childless. We have all been married and unmarried. We have all been wealthy. We have all been poor. We have all had an easy lifetime, and we have all had a very, very hard lifetime. So we've all done it all. And that's why there is no judgment in the soul form. It's hard to be human. It's really hard to be human. So looking at you, the two of you together, I recognize the same soul family energy between the two of you, which means there is an incredible, incredible connection between the two of you of love, of unconditional love, and that you want to help each other. So, Corey, you might come down and be like, I want to learn this in my lifetime. And Tracy, you might come down and be like, okay, but I need to be a person of justice. And Corey is like, I need to be a person of healing. And the two of you are like, let's explore this together. But before we do, let's get some experience. Because when we did those lifetimes of meeting too early, we got entangled and didn't actually get out of the entanglement. We didn't actually get to explore ourselves individually. So a lot of the lifetimes where you came down in the same family, there was some family dynamics, being that you knew each other's history so much that you actually stopped each other from growing because you wanted to hold on to that tight family relationship. So some of your best lifetimes have been when you've come later in life, when you came together as friends or employer-employee or partners. or the same. Actually, I can't say that, Tracy, because the majority of your lifetimes have been agrarian. So you're not really a
Oh,
city girl.
interesting.
You're not really
How
a city
interesting.
boy. You're not really, like a city person in many of your lifetimes if you did not start out your life in a very, very earth-centered way. You had a hard time having a good life, basically. It's kind of like without that nurturance from the earth, without, playing in the dirt, your soul just comes down to earth very intentionally. Like, I'm going to be an earth person. So the times when you don't get access to earth are the times when you typically suffer physically. So shorter lives.
Not interesting.
And Corey, when you come down, you really are, you tend to make more contracts with your soul families to help them than to take for yourself. So a lot of your lifetimes have been learning that balance of extending love and receiving love. So it's much easier for you to extend love than it is for you to accept love. So a lot of times when you come in, you're so focused on, serving these other souls that you forget that you're a soul that needs to be served too. So you kind of cop out and go the easy route. Like, I know how to serve, but being served is very, very uncomfortable.
That was our
So.
discussion today, actually, before we got on with you about her. So interesting that you said that.
I'm only allowed to see the energy you bring me.
Very interesting. This is interesting that you said that about the agrarian thing for me, because I was just in Idaho with my partner, and then she grew up in Eastern Montana, and we were talking about moving, in 9 years after her kids are grown up here. Like, do we want to live in that kind of place? And I said, I'm like half a city person, half a country person. Like, I really need we were hiking yesterday where there was no one around, and I'm like, this is what I need, but it has to be high mountains, right? Instead of like farming. But it's so interesting that you said that, because we were literally driving around and that's what I kind of grew up in. And it somewhat drives me crazy, but so does being in the city. So I need both,
Is it that you need the city or that you need the people in the city so that you can provide justice
I need
and
the
fairness?
people. I need the
So.
people. Yes, it's true. I could, if there were more people in the country, like, I need people. I actually said that in the car yesterday. I need people. She's an introvert, I'm an extrovert, and I need people.
And that fits in your life purpose, right? You need people to fulfill your life purpose. You need people to, if there's no inequality to bring equality for, if there's no invisibility that you need to make visible, you're not going to fulfill your life purpose. But in order to have the energy and the sustenance and the stamina to do that, you need earth energy.
Isn't it so interesting, because you don't even know me and you're saying this, and my heart center where I really belong is at this elephant sanctuary in Thailand, and there's so many people coming there because it's an education. So people every week, it's a new group of volunteers, and I just love it, but it's totally in the mountains of Thailand. It's so country. I don't even leave the property. Like, and it's like I love it there, but it's like the influx of people helps me to love it there, because I would go insane if there weren't people there. Because I'm a people person.
And this is the importance of, paying attention to what brings a sense of love into yourself. So, I mean, kudos for recognizing it. And after this, I would love information about that place.
Oh yes, believe me, I will give it to you.
She's got a lot of that. Can I ask you a
I know.
question, Robin, about something you said about me and about the giving the love more than receiving the love? I've been talking a lot lately about how I kind of am always there for other people and they're not really there for me, and how I give more
Except
than
for
I
me,
receive,
except for me.
except for Tracy. I
Oh.
give a lot more than I receive, and I'm at a point where I don't want to do that anymore, and I feel like I'm having a reckoning with myself. Is this something like you see this related to the soul related thing where it's deeper than that? Like this imbalance has been something I've just sort of put up with because I feel like that's sort of my purpose is to turn the other cheek when other people do things and just kind of, but I'm at a point where I like had literally had a breaking point a few weeks ago with Tracy where I just bawled and bawled and I said, I just can't keep giving more than I'm receiving. It is too much. And I feel like I can't be in this anymore and I can't do life like this. And so I'm wondering how much of that was like a reflection of this thing you were telling me.
So when we come into this life, we come in with gifts that we successfully completed in past lives, and we come in with challenges that we didn't get to bring to completion in past lives. One of the gifts that you've brought into past lives is that compassion, right? It's that I'm willing to understand you at where you're at. So that's very easy for you. And as human beings, we tend to fall back on what's easy, what's automatic, you know, and we tend to resist what is challenging. So I would invite you to re-examine this idea that people are not there to give back to you. And how are you asking? It's the lesson you have to learn. How are you asking people to show up for you? How willing are you to attract people into your life who want to give also? There's a lot of conditioning that we have that help and love and compassion are transactional. You know, that there's this scorecard of being a good person. In Akasha, there are no good and bad people. There are people going through human experiences. And some of those we do in alignment, and some of those we do out of alignment. And whether we're in alignment or out, we are seriously affecting people around us. So, the lesson is learning to receive. It's going to be hard. You're going to trip up. You're going to test and you're going to risk, and then you're going to be like, see, I risked it. I knew it. I had my belief system that people are not going to be there when I really need them. So I definitely went to a person who would validate that belief system. So now I'm stuck more, and now I have to prove myself worthy. So I have to give even harder and give even harder until you do reach that breaking point of like, I need something and I don't have a supply that I can get that from.
Wow. Yeah. That is
what did I say to you, Corey, before we got off the phone this morning?
You said,
remember?
Surround yourself with people who are going
I said, to- ask yeah. that. Say that that's what you want and mean it.
Yeah, because
I literally said that to her this morning.
I think I'm attracting people that I know aren't going to show up for me in the ways that I want them to because it feels familiar to me to be the giver. And I feel like I'm almost setting myself up for that. Because even if I do ask them to give to me, they don't. But I still stay, right? Like I'm still allowing myself to be in an unbalanced situation. And I really...
And that goes for friendships as well as romantic relationships.
It's been all across the board. Mm-hmm. Even coworkers. Like I complained mm-hmm. about projects with coworkers. Why am I the one always giving? And so I think what you're saying, Robin, that's really hitting home with me is this idea is that I'm attracting situations that I don't want, but I feel very comfortable in. And now I'm reaching a point where I want to not have those situations. I want people who want to give to me and show up for me, and I want to attract that.
And I want to encourage that we pay attention to our vocabulary. So I don't want to do this victim blaming of like, I'm attracting this into my life. It is hard to get out of a pattern. It is really hard. It takes a lot of mindfulness of a pattern that we want to break out of. And it's easy to fall back mm-hmm. into the pattern. We have more conditioning to be in an oppressed pattern, then we have conditioning to risk going out and finding new patterns. It's the human condition. We all do it. We've all been doing it. So this thing of asking people, you know, manifesting people to come into your life, you can't manifest what you don't conceive of. And part of that manifesting is, can you conceive of yourself of asking someone to be there for you? You know, can you conceive of you being that brave person to risk the intimacy of, I need you to be there for me. I need you to listen. I need you to do this thing for me to help me feel safe. And that, we need that, you know, when we're interacting with people, we also need to manifest what we can conceive and imagine ourselves being. And if I can't imagine myself taking the risk of asking somebody to love me, then I can't imagine receiving that love because I haven't imagined myself being that person.
Wow. Oh, goodness. I'm not seeing my therapist for a couple of weeks. I might need to schedule something sooner.
Why? Just take what she said. No, I said it to you this morning.
I know. And you know, you and I are going to process this, but I think this is really just fascinating. It's absolutely fascinating. Wow.
And that's the thing. When people say, why are you people doing this? Why is this happening? When, if you start to look for the deeper meaning, the what is you're supposed to learn about it, like that's what's helped me with my last couple situations that other people thought were ick. And they were icky, but it really helped me to move through a lot of other stuff relating to my family of origin and stuff like that. And I do think past life stuff as well.
Mm-hmm. So. I think what I wish, my biggest wish in the whole world is that people could see themselves in their soul form. If you could see yourself the way that I see you, the compassion you have for yourself would be bottomless. And that's kind of important that when we make mistakes, we also have compassion so that we can take accountability so that we can, you know, with compassion comes the desire to change. And it's why I do the work. It's why I teach all the classes. It's why I talk to people in the shop all day. If you could see yourself the way your soul could, if you could see yourself at the end of your life, when your soul looks at your life and says, wow, that was something. That was something and that was valuable. And I really, really love the experience. All of it. The good, bad, the ugly, the beautiful, the tender, the scary, the brave. And so when you're, you know, sitting here judging yourself for not being cured already, I invite you to have compassion and say, you're not meant to be cured today. You're meant to awaken today.
Oh, I love that. I feel like that's the perfect ending for this. I absolutely love that. Will you say that one more time? I'm actually going to put that quote in our show notes. Can you say that again, Robin? Or maybe it was just impromptu. And
you guys gave me consent. I am literally just flowing the messages through. So that when you're looking at where you are today, it is, do not judge yourself for not being cured.
Awesome. All right.
And to experience.
Yeah. For your awakening. So you're not here to be cured. You're here to awaken.
And to take all these experiences, good, bad, and otherwise, and actually not resent them or hate them, but learn from them and appreciate what you got out of them as far as a learning lesson.
One of the things that is really
tough. You said it way better.
About being a human are these experiences of guilt and shame. Mm-hmm. And guilt and shame are beautiful teachers. You know, when we have guilt about something, we need to do something. It is a prompt for action. Just like anger, when we have anger, it's a prompt for action. When we have shame, it is a prompt for compassion. We're not meant to live in shame. We're meant to have the experience and then have compassion about it. Shame is a condition. Guilt is a real thing. We hurt each other. It's appropriate to feel guilty when you cause harm. And it's appropriate to examine that and utilize it as a catalyst for change and growth. We can't grow when we're in shame. So look at ourselves as our soul would look at ourselves. Look at it as, this is something that I can heal. And in healing this, I heal my past. And in healing my past, the echoes of my gift come through stronger. And we just grow and grow.
Wow. Well, Robin, this has been absolutely lovely and so insightful and helpful. And I'm sure that our listeners are just, they're going to probably just, you know, play this again and again, because this episode was really just so fantastic. And they're going to probably want to find you or follow your work, or what's the best way for our listeners to connect with you if they're interested in more information?
Sure. There's my website, robindoxey.com, and my name is spelled RobinDoxey. I am also the co-owner of The Ninth House, a metaphysical shop here in Tucson, Arizona. You can find me at theninthhouseshop.com. I am also an educator and mentor through our sister site, the11thhouse.space, which is an online and digital space for community, where I like to teach community and help with intuitive development, help people trust themselves.
Ooh, I love that. Awesome. I'm checking that out. Absolutely.
I know, I've been there. I've been to that shop. I love it. And I bought some rocks there. Or whatever it's called. They weren't crystals. They were like rocks. I can see them from where I'm sitting. Stones. But I just signed up for your weekly free oracle letter or whatever.
I do have a weekly newsletter that I send out in which I include a collective message that I channel through oracle cards, sometimes tarot cards, but mostly oracle.
Oh, awesome. Wow, this is so cool. Well, thank you so much again for being on. We totally appreciate all the time and energy that you've spent with us today and in preparation for this. And to all of our listeners out there, until our next episode, go out there and rock those relationships. If you liked what you heard, check out our show notes for resources from today's episode. Make sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram under Rock That Relationship, and go to our website at rockthatrelationship.com for updated episodes and more great information.
Thanks for listening. Now go rock those relationships.